The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, let's get right into a really uplifting Christian. That's funny. Christmas message. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. We're looking at a winter, severe illness and death for the unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospitals, they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news, kiddos. If you're vaccinated and you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death. Merry Christmas to you, to all, and to all a good night. Welcome back. Hey, I hope you had a good weekend prepping for Christmas. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website, or The Steve Noble Show page on Facebook, or where we're live right now, or The Steve Noble Show. Can you say your name one more time? The Steve Noble Show page on YouTube. And then you can join us right here in the Star Wars themed Christmas studio. And good to be with you today. I don't even know where to start with the lockdowns back and Omicron back, whatever we call it. Actually, Dr. McCary from Johns Hopkins calls it Omicold, as in you have a cold, because the cold symptoms. That's what you get with Omicron now, is cold symptoms. And so the world going absolutely ballistic, blue cities going ballistic, averaging one COVID-19 death per day. Washington, D.C. declares a state of emergency. And, of course, new mandates in Boston, the new liberal mayor there, all of a sudden says, we're shutting down the city. And every indoor business, you have to have not a mask. You have to be vaccinated, like New York City. Booster shots demanded. Growing number of universities requiring third shot for spring semester. So here's the pop quiz today, friends. Are you ready? When are you fully vaccinated? When are you fully vaccinated? The answer is when Pope Fauci says you are. So now it's just one thing after another, and people are freaking out. So these stories are insane. And it's just going to keep going. You know, we're like, when's this ever going to end? I don't think it is going to end until next November, when the liberals and the Democrat Party will get shellacked all across the fruited plain in terms of the election. And then there's just, I mean, I'll go through this White House thing and what they did over the weekend, because when you have nothing to hang your hat on, thank you, Joe Manchin. You probably heard about that. Joe Manchin completely put the kibosh on the Build Back Better plan. The squad is going ballistic, calling him every name in the book. And Biden's playing it kind of cool, calm, and collected so far, but that's not saying much. But the people on the left are going ballistic. Liberal pundits are going ballistic. Joe Manchin is just going home and having a nice Christmas. I'm sure feeling pretty good about himself, and praise the Lord. Pray for Joe Manchin, because this guy's just getting hammered right and left from his own side. And it really comes down to him in the Senate. So the guy's got amazing power right now. He's like a superhero, like Spider-Man. Go see the movie. And they're just having to deal with it. But the squad's going ballistic. Everybody's going ballistic out there. And so when you have nothing else to hang your hat on, then you have to continue to virtue signal. And what's the ultimate virtue signal and grift? If you're in line for some of the cash coming out of the cash cow known as COVID, and of course the federal government is, we've learned that with Fauci and the NIH and all that stuff and the part ownership they have and the Pfizer vaccines, and the whole thing's just this giant crazy grift. Again, disclaimer alert, I'm not saying COVID isn't real, because it is. I'm not saying COVID hasn't killed people, because it has. I'm not saying that all the deaths, whether in a 78-year-old or an 8-year-old, aren't tragic, because they are. But there are other realities at play. And so, like, what's up with this? This is just demonic to me. This one is. And I'll be here today. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Stu Epperson Jr., founder of the Truth Radio Network, is filling in for me on Wednesday. I'm going to pre-record Thursday's Theology Thursday about the other side of Christmas. We talk about Jesus, as we should, the incarnation, Mary, Bethlehem, Nazareth, the census, the whole nine yards. But what about John the Baptist? There's other things, other interesting things about Christmas, so we're going to unpack that Theology Thursday, which we'll record tomorrow. So I won't be back in the studio live until, I think, next Tuesday. So I'll be here today, tomorrow, Thursday. It'll be pre-recorded. But this is just, this just gets me going. Fortunately, I'm in the studio by myself for a couple of days, so nobody could hear me ranting and raving and saying the things I said just a little while ago. And this just came out a couple of days ago. This is just satanic and dark. I said this the other day. If you're getting your five-year-old vaxxed, unless they have major comorbidities and like major asthma or something like that, but unless, if setting that aside, getting children vaxxed, this is just sick, in my opinion, and based on the numbers, which I'll get to. Check this out. Pfizer announces vaccine provides insufficient protection for young children. Ding, 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 ding. Young children don't need it. I'll get to that. Oh, this is just, I am so upset about this. Pfizer and BioNTech announced on Friday that the companies will modify a clinical trial for their coronavirus vaccine in young children after a two-dose regimen did not produce a sufficient immune response in children ages 2, 3, and 4. What are they doing sticking 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds? This gets worse. The company said that, quote, no safety concerns were identified in the trial. That's because it's only been a few months, you idiots. And that participants ages 2 to 4 will be given a third vaccine dose 2 months after their second dose. Now, and listen to this. Tell me this isn't satanic and sick and child abuse. Participants ages 6 months. 6 months. Our first grandson is 6 months old. You come anywhere near him with a Pfizer vaccine, Johnson, whatever. You come at my grandson and you're going to have a whole lot of people to get through because that ain't happening. 6 months to 24 months saw a sufficient immune response from the vaccine. That's because they're little tiny little petri dishes. Participants were given 3 micrograms of vaccine or 1/10 of the dose given to adults over age 18. Pfizer still expects to request emergency authorization for the vaccine in children under 5 before the summer of 2022. This is radically sick, and I just spilled my hot tea on some of my incredible research here in the studio because I'm so upset. Beautiful. All right, well, I'm going to hit the commercial break. I'm going to clean up my hot tea mess, which maybe will allow me to calm down before I get into this. Let's go into the numbers because facts still matter. And as Ben Shapiro says, facts don't care about your feelings. So let's look at some of the facts. Why in the world are they experimenting with our children? Because it's virtue signaling and those kids' parents should be arrested for child abuse, in my opinion. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Nothing like a little Bee Gees to calm me down. After I spilled my hot tea here in the coffee all over my excellent research. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas, everybody. Just T minus what? 5 days? Something like that. So are you going to have Omicron under the tree in your stockings in the Yule log? I don't. Even if you do, I mean, really, based on the numbers, don't worry about it. Omicron is not the enemy. Now liberalism in its current form certainly is. Progressivism certainly is. The Biden administration increasingly so. The squad increasingly so. Joe Manchin? No. I like Joe Manchin. He's doing a great job. So they're giving vaccine trials to kids between 2 and 4 and now down to 6 months of age. Okay? So let's just pause for a second. And let me take you through some numbers just to reassure you. If you're getting nervous about Omicold, not Omicron, Dr. Markery from Johns Hopkins calls it Omicold. Even the South Africans or the Africans that discovered it were like, hey, by the way, hey, everybody. But hey, listen, hey, just a second, everybody. It's highly contagious, but it's nowhere near as severe as COVID can be. OK, now it's a variant of COVID, but it's kind of like the cold. It's kind of like getting a common cold. We need to shut everything down over the common cold. So now they're vaccinating kids 2 to 4 years of age and down to 6 months. And Pfizer, who I now believe works directly for the devil, it wants to get emergency authorization for little kids, little babies. Where do they get that from? Okay, well, check this out. in the last 2 years. This is from the CDC, Facebook and YouTube. But this is just you. This is just CDC numbers. In the last 2 years, 2020 and all of 2021, between the ages of zero, newborn, and 17, there have been 655 deaths involving, right from the CDC website, involving, air quotes, involving COVID. At the same time in these 2 years, nationwide, all causes of death, sadly, 64,886 kids have died between the ages of zero, newborn, and 17. In 2 years, 64,886, of which 655 died involving COVID. So they had it when they died, but that doesn't mean they died of COVID, right? That's 1%. Okay. 18 to 29 years of age. Since we're shutting down colleges and young people in big cities, 4,781 deaths involving COVID in the last 2 years, all of last year and all of this year up until now, out of, sadly, 123,731. That's 3.8% of all deaths in the last 2 years between 18 and 29 years of age have been involving COVID. Okay, then you go up through the numbers and it skyrockets quickly. When you get to 65 to 74, 13.7% of all deaths. 75 to 84, 13.1% of all deaths. 85 plus, it's 11.2% of all deaths in the last two years that have been involved COVID, which you would think that it would be a higher percentage. Wouldn't you think, based on the news and the way it's been portrayed, that half the people of 75 and older are dying of COVID? It's not true. CDC numbers will show you 13.1% of the age range in America for the last 2 years have died involving COVID, 75 to 84 years of age. 85 and over, 11.2% of all deaths last year and this year have involved, air quotes, COVID. Now, let's look at, so 0 to 29 years of age is one half of 1% of all COVID deaths. 75 plus is 55% of all COVID deaths. So who should we be pointing our concern at? That's right, old people, right? By the way, how many of these people are there in America? Well, 0 to 17, so newborn to 17 years of age, there's 73,792,000, of which 655 deaths, quote unquote, in the last year, 2 years, out of that number is 0.000000, that's 5, 0.000088% of kids newborn to 17 have died involving COVID in the last 2 years, 0.000088. And so now we're vaccinating them, we're masking them, now we're not letting them go back to school in January because of the Omicron, which is basically a cold. And even in the 18 to 29 age range, you know how many of those there are in America? How many 18 to 29 years of age people are there in America? Thanks for asking. 53.7 million, of which 4,781 in the last 2 years, this year and all of last year, had deaths involving COVID, which is 0.000089%. Okay? So why are we vaccinating children? If you look at the age range 5 to 11, which was the first range they opened up, the government did, Fauci, the guy, the NIH, who I guess is a believer, who just retired. Why can't Fauci retire? And they open up with Pfizer. Oh, let's vax them down to 5. So then it was 5 to 11 years of age. And there's 79 deaths with COVID in the last 2 years of 5 to 11-year-olds, 79. Those are all tragic, obviously. But there's 28,446,096 children between the ages of 5 and 11 in America. That's 0.000000278% chance of death. 0.000000278% of them have died from COVID. That does not make a policy. That's heartbreaking, but you don't make policy out of that. That's ridiculous. That's statistically nothing. Zero. So where is all this coming from? That would be the devil, darkness, Satan, lies, government control. There's no question about that. How can you question any of this anymore? And back to this original pop quiz, friends. Okay, class. Tell me, at what point are you fully vaccinated? Well, then I think the answer would be, well, what's the rule today? Because now it's 3. Now you got to have 3. You got the 2 original shots. Pfizer, you got to have the booster and then another booster and then another booster because the boosters just get increasingly less effective. But what about if you're like me? Unvaccinated, but I had COVID almost a year ago. Oh, that's natural immunity. That's right. That doesn't count. So back to the White House. This is really remarkable. President Biden, as well as White House COVID response coordinator Jeff Zients, each pushed the messaging last week. I want to send a direct message to the American people. This is Biden. Due to the steps we've taken, what? Omicron has not yet spread as fast as it would have otherwise done, Biden said. But it's here now, and it's spreading, and it's going to increase. We are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for the unvaccinated, for themselves, their families, and the hospitals they'll soon overwhelm, he added. But there's good news. Hold on, boys and girls. There's good news. Sorry, you're getting snarky Friday on a Monday. If you're vaccinated, God bless you. If you're vaccinated and you have your booster shot, get that? How that's all part of it now? If you're vaccinated and have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death for at least, I don't know, another couple months. I added that part. Zients repeated the warning the following day, the self of the weekend. Quote, we are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the vaccinated. Oh, God bless you. Those are the non-gold star wearing people. You've done the right thing, and we will get through this. Not the other people. He said, for the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. Merry Christmas, everybody. Nobody's in the closet. Well, Christians are in the closet now, but nobody else is in the closet anymore. Certainly not this kind of liberalism, progressivism. I'll go so far as to say Satanism. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. We've got family starting to show up starting on Wednesday. So we're excited about that. I'll be back in, God willing, tomorrow. And then off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I hope you are as well. And then I actually don't think I'll be in on Monday. And then back on Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Maybe not even Friday next week because it's Christmas Eve, but we've got some great shows, some great guests lined up next week on the in-between. So on Tuesday, I'm going to do the whole show on Tuesday with my buddy Steve Dace from The Blaze. We'll do a wrap-up of 2021 and look forward into 2022. We'll also get an update on the movie they're making out of his book, A Nefarious Plot, which is kind of like a Screwtape Letters, but the devil assigns a demon to take down America. And it's kind of the story of that effort over the last couple hundred years, which I say would say was largely on track, wouldn't you? So we'll talk to Steve Dace the whole show on Tuesday. On Wednesday right now, we should have Congressman Madison Cawthorn on. Not sure how long we'll have Madison on. Youngest member of Congress right now from North Carolina. And we should have him on Wednesday. And then we'll just see what happens next week. But a couple of great shows lined up for you. And so much to continue to talk about. But hopefully all of us will take a break from the politics and stuff and enjoy the reason for the season. And just remember, Jesus wasn't born for Christmas. He was born for Easter. So we should go through this week. And I don't know about you, but it's always very emotional when it was funny when my wife and I, we were married in 92, we were saved in 94, and we were saved in the fall of 94, and that Christmas, all of a sudden, the Christmas carols all made sense. It's like we got the secret decoder ring. It was very emotional, and still can be, and probably should be. When we think about what Christmas actually represents, if you're in Christ like I am, that unlocked the door. He had to come, the incarnation. So just let's make sure we do what we can to lean into that. By the way, we're in the book of Matthew right now, my Daily Dose devotionals that I've been writing for years. So we're in the book of Matthew, I think Matthew chapter 8 or 9 right now. So you can get those. I put them up on Facebook every day, Monday through Friday. They come out at about 11 a.m. Or you can get them on email. If you want to get them on email, just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. That's all you need to do. Your message is DOSE, the word DOSE, D-O-S-E. For the Daily Dose devotional, DOSE to 66866. So for us older folks, that's who you're sending the text to, 66866. That's the number, like a phone number, right? But it's just 66866. And then in the message, just use the word DOSE, D-O-S-E. And you'll get a quick reply, and then you sign up, and boom, you'll get the Daily Dose in your email. But we're going through the book of Matthew right now. let me share this because I was so upset, as we all should be, about what's going on with COVID and Omicron and all the new lockdowns. We knew this is going to happen every winter as it dies down over time in the next couple of years. God willing, please, Lord, it'll just end up getting down to a common cold level. And do you think the government will back off then? I don't. I think this is just all the spirit of the age. So as a way to turn the corner and push away from this, I saw this on Facebook this morning. I didn't know this story about Jimmy Stewart. I knew some things about him, but this is an incredible story. And then I shared it on Facebook as well. So if you can find it on my personal page on Facebook or the radio show page, just the Steve Noble Show is the radio show page. And then of course, just my name for my personal page. This is just awesome. What a great story. And I didn't know this. Months after winning his 1941 Academy Award for Best Actor in The Philadelphia Story, Jimmy Stewart, one of the best known actors of the day, left Hollywood and joined the U.S. Army. He was the first big-name movie star to enlist in World War II. An accomplished private pilot, the 33-year-old Hollywood icon became a U.S. Army Air Force aviator, earning his second lieutenant commission in early 1942. With his celebrity status and huge popularity with the American public, he was assigned to star in recruiting films, attending rallies, and training younger pilots. Stewart, however, wasn't satisfied. He wanted to fly combat missions in Europe, not spend time in a stateside training command. By 1944, frustrated and feeling the war was passing him by, he asked his commanding officer to transfer him to a unit deploying to Europe. His request was reluctantly granted. Stewart, now a captain, was sent to England, get this, where he spent the next 18 months flying B-24 Liberator bombers over Germany. Throughout his time overseas, the U.S. Army Air Corps top brass had tried to keep the popular movie star from flying over enemy territory, but Stewart would hear nothing of it. Why is that? Because, you know why? Because he was a patriot and he didn't see himself above his fellow Americans. They were willing to fight and die. He was willing to fight and die. I long for those days, don't you? Back to the story. Determined to lead by example, he bucked the system, assigning himself to every combat mission he could. By the end of the war, he was one of the most respected and decorated pilots in his unit. But his wartime service came at a high personal price. In the final months of World War II, he was grounded for being what they called flak happy. Today, we call that post-traumatic stress disorder. When he returned to the U.S. in August of 1945, Stewart was a changed man. He had lost so much weight that he looked sickly. He rarely slept, and when he did, he had nightmares of planes exploding and men falling through the air screaming. In one mission alone, his unit had lost 13 planes and 130 men, most of whom he knew personally. He was depressed, couldn't focus, and refused to talk to anyone about his war experiences. His acting career was all but over. As one of Stewart's biographers put it, every decision he made during the war was going to preserve life or cost lives. He took back to Hollywood all the stress that he had built up. In 1946, he got his break. He took the role of George Bailey, the suicidal father in It's a Wonderful Life. The rest, obviously, is history. Actors and crew of the set realized that in many of the disturbing scenes of George Bailey unraveling in front of his family, Stewart wasn't acting. His PTSD was being captured on film for potentially millions to see. But despite Stewart's inner turmoil, making the movie was therapeutic for the combat veteran. He would go on to become one of the most accomplished and loved actors in American history. When asked in 1941 why he wanted to leave his acting career to fly combat missions over Nazi Germany, he said, quote, "This country's conscience is bigger than all the studios in Hollywood put together, and the time will come when we'll have to fight," unquote. This holiday season, as many of us watch the classic Christmas film, It's a Wonderful Life, it's also a fitting time to remember the sacrifices of Jimmy Stewart and all the men who gave up so much to serve their country during wartime. I would add women, of course. We will always remember you. Postscript. When fighting in Europe, Stewart's Oscar statue was proudly displayed in his father's Pennsylvania hardware store. Throughout his life, the beloved actor always said his father, a World War I veteran, was the person who had made the biggest impact on him. Jimmy Stewart remained in the United States Air Force Reserve following the war, retiring as a brigadier general in 1968. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1985 and died in 1997 at the age of 89. Jimmy Stewart. So, I'm definitely going to make sure I watch It's a Wonderful Life before the end of the week. And to think that's the first movie, it would appear, that he made after he came back from World War II. And you remember in It's a Wonderful Life, there are very powerful scenes in there when he's just distraught. Life is falling apart. The job, the bank, the income, all of that stuff just melting away. And so think about that. When we think he's acting, it sure sounds like he wasn't. He was just pouring out of himself all the trials and tribulations and the things that he had seen as a bomber pilot flying over Germany in World War II. It's really an amazing thing to think about. And to be inspired by somebody like Jimmy Stewart, who was willing to sacrifice, make the tough decision, put his life on the line, not for his career, but for his fellow man, for his nation, for others. Isn't that something that we should live on a daily basis? To live as Christ and to die as gain, Paul said. We should put others' needs above our own. Love your neighbor as yourself. God has a major problem with favoritism. And while he never tells us not to love ourselves, you protect yourself, you care for yourself, you don't stay in an abusive relationship, you take care of your body to a certain extent, like Paul said, there's value there. But really, it's all about living a life for others, for the Lord primarily, for the gospel, and just for others in general, be it your spouse or your children. And imagine this, the people you're going to spend time with this week. Pastor Chad Harvey at Cross Assembly mentioned in a message yesterday, I think a poll is like 75 or 80% of people are going to spend the Christmas holidays with at least one person they can't stand. Does that sound familiar? And the question is, how would Jesus have us handle that? And I think it's easy. Love them. Serve them. Forgive them. Take the back seat. Turn the other cheek. And we do that as a just kind of a normal way of life. And that's our calling. You can do it with a mask on or without a mask on. You can do it vaxxed or unvaxxed. You can do it from the right. You can do that from the left, wherever you fall in the political spectrum. But our calling as Christians has always been bigger than our calling as patriots or as Americans. So let's remember that. And that should help us get through this, not only this Christmas season, but next year. With a little more joy in our step. This isn't the end of the show, by the way. It just sounds like it. We'll be back with David Fisher, a Money Monday update, as there's a lot of things we're paying attention to there, and important things to think about and pray about, and just make sure we're trying to live out our faith well, especially this week with people watching. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Amen, amen, and amen. Remember that as the government gins up the Omicron Armageddon and all the other stuff going on. Remember that. Worthy is the Lamb. And if you're in Christ, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, you put all your eggs in his basket. All your faith is in him. It's not in yourself. You can't earn your way into heaven. If you didn't know that, you need to understand that. Okay, no, nothing I can talk about on this show. David Fisher's about to join us for a Money Monday update, financial stuff, Omicron, COVID, whatever. None of that stuff is nearly, not even close to as important as you understanding who goes to heaven and who doesn't. How does that happen? How does one actually become what the Bible would say is a born-again Christian? Who goes to heaven? Is it the nice people? The well-behaved people, the mask-wearing people, the unvaccinated, the vaccinated. No, it's those that have been forgiven of their sins. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Eternity. Separated from God in what the Bible calls hell. And there's only way around that. There's only one name given under heaven by which man must be saved. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. And nobody comes to the Father but by me. He's the gate. He's the path. So if you struggle with that, if you're not really sure you understand that, just go to my website, please, for no other reason, just to go click on the button that says heaven. And then you'll see in very plain English and a simple little 5-minute video, you'll see exactly what the Bible says about who goes to heaven and who doesn't. That's more important than anything else we could ever talk about on the show. David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, as always. How are you, my buddy? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and I want to say a big amen to what you just said, Steve. Exactly, that is the key to life.
That is absolutely the key to life, and thank you for echoing that. I was talking about Omicron and COVID and all this mess today, and of course, fear is a big driver in that, and that has something to do with our Christmas passage that you picked today, which is awesome, out of Luke 1. So we'll start there, David, and then we've got some other things to talk about.
Yeah, Luke 1, verse 30 and 31. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus." So we can talk about this scripture in so many ways as yes. believers. You know, God has found favor in his children. That is, if we continue to say, "I need you, Lord, in my life. I need your power and your Holy Spirit to live by a victorious life." God wants to birth in us his will for our lives, which is to ultimately to be like him. And, you know, we think that I can just sometimes people say the Christian walk is just an easy thing, but, you know, it starts could start out a little bit challenging, not understanding everything. Like Jesus, he was born not in a immaculate hotel. He's born in a stable, a barn. I grew up on a farm. It's not there's not pleasant smells, and yeah. I don't want to be gross or anything, but you know, sometimes we associate the Christian life in America as like, "I don't give me any problems, don't make it smelly or anything like that, because I should walk in the palace." No, the palace is after we've done our work here on heaven, yeah, and that's where right. the streets of gold are. And so let God burst something new into you. Like you were talking about, maybe a challenged family get together this Christmas. Let God birth love in you, like just like you were saying before the break, Steve.
Yeah, such a great point. Let God birth love in you. And that needs to come out, and especially in the family of faith. And we've really struggled with that over the last 2 years, whether it was Trump and politics or COVID and masks and now vaccines. And, you know, just remember what Jesus said. They'll know your mind by the way you love one another. So let's make sure that we're always focusing on that, not just because it's the Christmas season, but because that's the call on us as Christians. So thanks, as always, for a great way to start our time together. I didn't even think about the stock indexes today until I saw our notes about what we were talking about. Then I opened up my phone, and I see that the Dow Jones is down at 433 points today. So what's going on?
Yeah, it was down 670 in intraday Ouch. Trading. So it's had some recovery, but it's still down, unfortunately. This is probably for three reasons. This, obviously, the new virus spread of Omicron threatens the supply and demand chain, which threatens the market. Also, the Fed has now verbally pivoted to fight inflation. We'll see if they're going to actually physically do something about it. So the idea that they're saying they might do something, and then if they follow through with what they're saying, the market doesn't like that. But probably the biggest of the three things is the third one. The Build Back Better plan, the bill is dead.
Kaboom.
Kaboom. And this is probably the main reason for the sell-off today, which that's supported the economy, has supported people's families. It's supported massive spending,
yes.
which has been huge as a fuel for the volume of the market. And Senator Joe Manchin said a whole bunch of, we don't have time to go over all his quotes, but he said, "I just cannot get my head around this. I can't vote for it. I can't tell the people of West Virginia about it. It doesn't make sense." And he referred to a staggering debt of $29 trillion and Jeez. Inflation coming. If we pass this bill, it'll get a lot worse. And therefore, he could not get his head around this. And I want to give a shout out to Joe Manchin.
Yes, amen. Yeah, we need to put a little something under the tree for Joe this year. It's really, I mean, talk about pressure.
Get a lump of coal. He gets a gold. He gets gold. No lump of coal for him. Sorry to interrupt.
That's right. No, it's awesome. And he's been under so much pressure. And of course, the liberals and the progressives are going absolutely ballistic, as you would expect. But he appears to be one of the few people up on the Hill that's got a backbone. So praise the Lord for that. That's really good news. And isn't it fascinating, David, that when the government's not going to spend as much money, not going to be as reckless in their spending, that the market actually doesn't like that. We have to remember that the market's emotional. It's not necessarily logical.
Yeah, and the market likes overspending. Because it's the environment, we've been told there isn't really any inflation. I mean, that's what the Fed's been saying. Well, you know, if we're going to get a lump of coal, Jerome Powell should get the lump of coal. He's not, or maybe he should just get a scholarship to the School of Economics and learn what inflation really is. I don't know. I wanted to beat him. But, yeah, we have inflation. Hey, there's the good news. In reference to that bill not being passed, neither will $80 of funding go to 86,000 IRS agents. So that's
right.
A good news thing.
That is
so
a good news thing.
That's really good news. I'm celebrating that. Unfortunately, not everybody gets to get a free check at the end, every month. Hopefully, they can figure out something in relationship to the child tax credit. But, you know, because some people are really hurting. And, you know, I wish Congress would separate all this stuff that they put bill and pass simple bills and live and die by that.
But, yeah, well, then it wouldn't be Congress. It would be like your house or my house, and logical stuff would be happening. So do you think the Fed will really raise interest rates next year to try to curb some of this?
Well, he being Jerome Powell, said, and high inflation is one of the two big threats, the other being is the pandemic. So it's one thing to say it. It's finally they've said it. It's another thing to stand by. You know, there's the old adage, a horse doesn't change its stripes or whatever the terminology. A dove doesn't change its feathers either. A dove meaning in the Fed's term, they're unlikely to take aggressive action. So the Fed is still dovish. They're hawkish in their verbiage. They're dovish in their action.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they're going to follow through. If I had to say, they'll start doing it, then as soon as the market doesn't like it and it goes through revolt, you know, pulling back the market in stocks, they're going to change their tune, and I think they're going to come up with a new reason why not to raise rates and why go back to buying all this debt, which they bought $5 trillion of debt in the last 16 months, or go back to that as soon as the market goes through convulsions, is my prediction.
Yeah, just amazing. And we'll talk about that the first Monday of the year, of the new year, 2022. We'll do a full Money Monday with David. We'll look back briefly over 2021, but we'll really look ahead into 2022. And after a quarter century of doing this, see what you see on the horizon there, David. That'll be great. So what's going on with gold and silver? We know that's kind of the epicenter of what you do in your specialty. What's happening there?
Well, I'm going to go more in depth, and you're going to see why there's next week in the beginning of the year, why there's going to be a big movement in gold, I think. But Evie Hambro, Chief Investment Officer for BlackRock, household name, head guy, saying gold is going to have a nice run in 2022. He says it's out of favor right now. And when a market is out of favor, that's the very time you should be buying.
Yeah.
And I concur with him. The Wall Street Journal in 1999, when gold hit the very bottom at 252, the Wall Street Journal on the front of the page said, gold has lost its luster. Mm. That was the best time to buy, because the next 11 years, gold went from 252 to 1905. It outperformed the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500 by a 3-to-1 ratio.
Jeez.
And so I think we're going back into that environment. So now's the time to buy gold. Silver is... the relationship to gold and silver should be a 16 to 1, 16 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. It's in the last couple of years, it's been 40 to up to 50 to 1, and currently right now it's over 80 to 1. So silver is highly undervalued in reference to all the money that's been printed, and also silver is being used more industrial with solar and technology than gold. So I would look at having some of your money in both of those markets and not all of your money in paper markets, since it's a market that's showing some signs of a correction. It might be highly overvalued. So call me at the year end here. There's discounts that we pass on to the consumer because wholesalers are getting rid of product. Otherwise, they got to pay a tax to the IRS from having an inventory. So call my company and learn about that.
Yeah, so if people want to get a hold of you, David, what do they do?
Old-fashioned way, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575, or landmarkgold.com.
Thank you, my brother. Have a Merry Christmas to you and Marianne and your family and everybody there at the business. And we look forward to talking to you soon, but I hope you enjoy your Christmas week, my friend.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your family and all your listeners.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk real soon. God bless you. That was David Fisher, LandmarkGold.com, as always. I'll be back again tomorrow, God willing. Not sure what we're going to talk about, but I'm going to probably focus on Christmas just to help us all push in the right direction. We're not going to talk about COVID tomorrow. I need a break. You probably do as well. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.